You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
When the Jets led up the game-winning touchdown to the Raiders, there were a lot of us who thought they did it on purpose. Four-point lead, seconds to go. Oakland had the ball near midfield. And, of course, Jets defensive coordinator Greg Williams called it an all-out blitz. Derek Carr lofted the ball to Henry Ruggs, the rookie. The Jets fall to 0-12. Jokes ensued. I don't know if the Jets were trying to lose on purpose to help their draft position, but if they were doing it, they didn't do a very good job because they really should have won this game. And Greg Williams loves to be aggressive. He does it all the time. Maybe it's a rare stroke of good luck for the franchise because I kept thinking, God, the Jets are going to screw this up. Wait, the Jags are going to screw this up. And then both teams ended up losing. So now the Jets are on track to draft Trevor Lawrence. I wonder if Trevor Lawrence is watching the Jets play. He probably wouldn't admit that he was watching or that he's watching Jacksonville. I don't know who his favorite team is, but I wonder if somebody says to Trevor Lawrence, "Hey, the Jets blew it." What? Yeah. They allowed the Raiders to win. Oh, no. Someday Jets fans are going to look back at yesterday's loss as the one that propelled the franchise into an era of unprecedented success, right? Or at least if I'm a Jets fan, that's what I'm saying today. That we lost, but we're going to win because we're going to get Trevor Lawrence. We'll have a poll question for you, play of the day, stat of the day. And if you'd like to be part of the program, you can, as we always do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. Operator Marvin is standing by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Yes, Tom?
Are you somehow so flattered if you're Trevor Lawrence that they find all these ways to blow it, especially the way it went down yesterday? It's like, wow, they really want me. This is the place for me.
I don't think Trevor Lawrence is going. The Jets tried to lose that game. And as much as we want to blame Greg Williams, hey, he's a very aggressive defensive coordinator. He loves to do this, an all-out blitz. I have to put some blame on these defensive backs. Let's say my defensive coordinator says, all-out blitz. Okay, I have an undrafted rookie. I think his name's Lamar Jackson. And he's supposed to be covering Henry Ruggs, who is probably one of the top five fastest players in the sport. It's a double move. You don't know. You know what I don't bite on? The first move. It doesn't matter. If he's going to go out of bounds, okay, I'm going to use the out of bounds as a weapon, and I'm going to play as deep as possible. No matter what my defensive coordinator calls, as a grown-ass man playing defense in the NFL, I have to say the following. How do we lose this game? Somebody gets behind me. And that's what happened. Why I have an undrafted rookie single coverage on Henry Ruggs? We can argue or discuss that. But these defensive backs have to know what's the only way we can lose if somebody gets behind us. And they made it look easy. And it wasn't just one defensive back. They were all up like 20 yards. You know, they were in the red zone. They weren't in the end zone. Hey, we can put pressure on Derek Carr, okay. But at some point, those defensive backs have to know, we have to play deep here. We can't let somebody get behind us. And as much as I can blame Greg Williams for calling the all-out blitz, I also have to say to whoever is the secondary coach, hey, guys, all-out blitz, don't let anybody get behind us. But the Jets, as only the Jets can do it, lost another one. Jags went into overtime against Minnesota. They almost screwed up their season as well. Yeah, Paulie.
Yesterday as an organization. It's like when a running back takes a knee at the five to help his team win. The Jets did that yesterday to help themselves long term, whether consciously or subconsciously.
Yeah, but I don't think they did that on purpose. I don't think Greg Williams goes. I mean, Greg Williams looks bad today. Greg Williams is going to be out of a job. You know, that's not one of those where you go, hey, let's make sure that we beat the Raiders. Like, if you're trying to hold on to your job, Sam Darnold, you want to play well, which he did. He had a pretty good game there. Greg Williams, are you going to get another job? You're the defensive coordinator of the worst team in pro football right now. Adam Gase, offensive-minded genius. You going to get another job? Not as a head coach. I don't believe for a second that Greg Williams goes, how do we lose this game? Oh, you know, all-out blitz, and I have single coverage on Henry Ruggs, and hey, bite on the first move. It'll be a double move, but bite on it. I don't believe that for a second. I think it was just an aggressive play call, not a smart play call, and you didn't give your secondary the heads up or remind them, whatever happens, nobody gets behind you. Yes, McLovin.
You know, his name was Lamar Jackson. You were right. I think that's a lot to ask of a guy who's also quarterbacking the Ravens and coming off the COVID list to cover a guy.
Okay.
I mean, that's a lot, Dan.
I see what you did there. Greg Williams will not be offering a masterclass in defense. Masterclass offers over 90 classes on a variety of topics.
Segway.
Yeah, that's how you win a sports Emmy right there.
Let's go.
All taught by world-class masters at the top of their field. This holiday, when you buy an annual membership, you get another annual membership for free. Just go to masterclass.com/Patrick. Masterclass.com/Patrick. What else do you have, McLovin?
So I put up the poll. Do you think the Jets lost on purpose? Just to see what people say. Right. I just put it up on danpatrick.com. But here's the other question. Was it a good day for the Jets?
Yes. I mean, Greg Williams isn't going to be there. Adam Gase isn't going to be there. Sam Darnold's probably not going to be there. And you want a clean sweep here. Let's just be bad, get it all out. And, you know, you have to purge here. We're bad. We showed it. We showed it again. We show it in a variety of ways, offensively, defensively, special teams, coaching, head coach, defensive coordinator, quarterback play. We're done with all of this. Let's just go, you know, into the offseason, and then we get Trevor Lawrence, and then let's try to build a team on a rookie contract at the quarterbacking position. So I would say yes, it is. Because if you say I get Trevor Lawrence, even though I got embarrassed if I'm a Jets fan, I still have to look at the prize at the end of all of this, and that there will be a true prize. You could have the number one overall pick. Imagine if Trevor Lawrence wasn't in this draft. It's like the NBA draft this past year with Minnesota. There was no Zion Williamson. Minnesota didn't want the number one pick. There was nobody to take. And if Justin Fields is the reward, then you can go, is this worth it to go winless this season? Yeah, Paul.
What a weird position for Sam Darnold, because obviously he knows what the future is for him in New York. But if he plays well, which he's a competitor, he wants to play well, he's basically selling himself to other franchises. But if he pulls a Daniel Jones and wins a couple in a row, he may have to stay with the Jets, because if they had the fourth pick, they may not be able to get a quarterback.
Well, this is what I was told over the weekend, because I wondered if Sam Darnold, if they get Trevor Lawrence, does Sam Darnold stay? And I was told, don't be surprised if Sam Darnold would stay one more year if Trevor Lawrence is drafted number one overall by the Jets. Also, you got a quarterbacking situation with Philadelphia. I'd said prior to the game yesterday, I would sit down Carson Wentz just for his peace of mind, his state of mind, his confidence level, whatever it is. And if you want to put Jalen Hurts in there, how about you find out what you have with Jalen Hurts, and then you can decide in the offseason if the Colts are interested in trading for Carson Wentz. And the reason why I say that is Frank Reich is the head coach of the Colts. He was the offensive coordinator when the Eagles went to the Super Bowl, when Carson Wentz had his best season. That's my only hope here. Because if I cut him, it's a $60 million cap hit. If I cut him the following year, it's a $40 million cap hit. You can't get rid of him unless you trade him. If you think Jalen Hurts has what it takes to be a good quarterback in the league, and at times he was fun yesterday. But I got to find out what's going on here. If I'm Philadelphia, is Doug Peterson back? Carson Wentz back? Would the Colts be interested in Carson Wentz? Those are questions that loom heavily over this organization. But what Jalen Hurts did, like quietly, I don't know what game Tony Romo was watching, because it felt like Jalen Hurts was leading a comeback. Like, wasn't it 23-16? And then, you know, you had the long run, but I thought, I mean, Philadelphia's in this game. Like, they were, Tony was praising, you know, Aaron Rodgers and, you know, okay, this isn't a blowout here. This is still a real game there. And I thought Hurts did a pretty good job. You know, no offseason, you know, no preseason. And he goes in there with every, you know, doesn't have good offensive weapons there, the offensive line. I mean, he manufactured something yesterday. And if I'm Philadelphia, if I'm Doug Peterson, I'm putting him back in there. It's the Eagles against the Saints. And who would have thought this late in the season, Taysom Hill would be opposite Jalen Hurts. But that's what it looks like here. Taysom Hill played again. Yes, Saints fans, I am reminded that Taysom Hill had some good passing stats. Yes, congratulations. Taysom Hill has played well. Better, you know, against Atlanta. And look, I thought Atlanta was going to win that game. And Atlanta's defense is pretty good. But Taysom Hill performed admirably there. Absolutely. Let me see a couple other things here. My Giants. Surprise, surprise. Of all of the games this year, that might be the one game that stands out where you go, what? Seattle needing a win. The Giants going cross country with Colt McCoy as your quarterback. And that Giants defense is good. And Russell Wilson Jr. III is no longer an MVP candidate. Tonight, Washington and Pittsburgh. The Buffalo Bills against the 49ers. We'll talk some college football. LSU should be ashamed. They lost by 37 to Auburn, 38 to Alabama. They should be ashamed, embarrassed. Because I kept watching the game thinking, how did LSU go from one of the great offenses I've ever seen to absolutely, positively nothing? And Alabama blows them out. Ohio State with a big win, but is it really a big win? It feels like they're going to manufacture, massage the rules that if Michigan doesn't play this week against Ohio State, that somehow they're going to have an addendum, a clause to the Big Ten playing in the title game. But right now, and I got two sources on this, it's quiet in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Quiet in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But you start to look at Ohio State's resume, it's not great. They can only play who's in front of them, but it has been a down year for the Big Ten. Coastal Carolina and BYU, best game of the weekend. As our good friend Pat Forty pointed out, it was a Tinder date. It was a Tinder college football game. Like, hey, do you want to play? Yeah, swipe right. Hey, we'll play you, and then they'll play at Coastal Carolina. I thought it was wonderful. I don't want to hear any more of this. Well, we're, you know, 15 years ahead with our schedule. We don't have any room for anybody here. Coastal Carolina, BYU playing one another, and Coastal Carolina took it to BYU. They were far more physical. They were the better team. Indiana with a backup quarterback against Wisconsin in Wisconsin. Notre Dame rolls, Clemson rolls, and, of course, Alabama does as well. Yes, McLovin.
You know, if you're talking about the eye test, I watched the Ohio State-Michigan State game. I've seen much better high school games. I mean, like, there were 30 people missing for both teams or something. They couldn't complete a shotgun snap, like a simple shotgun snap. Yeah. The quality of football was shockingly low to me. Does that matter to them, or is everybody expected to be down now?
Well, I think that the playoff selection committee would look at that. That Ohio State, I was told, was getting that game in. No matter who played, they were getting that game in. They just wanted to get that game in so then they could face Michigan. And they hope Michigan is able to play. And now the Big Ten has come out and said, hey, maybe you don't have to have six wins to play in the Big Ten title game. They're going to do everything they possibly can to get Ohio State in there because they want that team as a true representation of the Big Ten to play for the national championship. Everybody in the Big Ten benefits if Ohio State is in there. As much as I love what Indiana's done, Northwestern's been a good story. Michigan State's not any good. They look like Eastern Michigan, not Michigan State. Wisconsin losing at home to a backup quarterback in Indiana. Penn State and Michigan aren't going to have winning records. I mean, that you can't look at Ohio State's resume and go, yep, they're great or very good. Talent-wise, yes, they are. But as far as what the resume says, no, not at all. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Ross Tucker, former NFL lineman, and Ross Tucker Football Podcast, also working Westwood One as the NFL analyst. We invite you to hear more from Ross Tucker on his Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Coming up, let's see, you got Army-Navy next weekend. You got a game this week. Do you got Pittsburgh? What game do you have this week?
So I've got, Dan, I've got tomorrow night, Cowboys-Ravens for Westwood One, then Army-Navy, then Sunday, I'll do Bills and the Steelers. So, and I know you pay attention to this stuff, Dan. That means I will have called games this year, either NFL or FBS Division I football, Monday afternoon, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday, Sunday. So the only thing I'm missing for setting, I believe, an all-time NFL Division I football analyst record is Friday night. So somehow in the next couple of weeks, I got to figure out a way to get a Friday night game in.
No, just do a high school game.
You know, the irony is I do this Pennsylvania State Championship games every year, but because of the COVID pandemic, they were Thanksgiving weekend, which is when I was doing the University of Buffalo game where Jarrett Patterson was one carry away, Dan, from breaking the all-time rushing record and touchdown records. And I don't know if you saw, but I did not take it overly well when he was pulled from the game.
He is Ross Tucker joining us on the program. All right, now just give me the defensive philosophy of Greg Williams. Like, what is he thinking in this moment as to why this is going to work, given putting pressure on Derek Carr and leaving his secondary exposed and in the situation with Henry Ruggs, man-on-man coverage?
Yeah, so I don't think it's necessarily the smartest move, but I will tell you, Dan, this is who he is. I mean, he almost always is going to be more aggressive than the situation would typically call for. I played for him in Buffalo in 2003, Washington in 2007 when he was a defensive coordinator. This is kind of who he is. The thought process, by the way, I'm not saying it's right. The thought process is if you come with a zero blitz, right, that means you're bringing one more guy than the offense has to block. The quarterback has to get rid of the ball before he can throw it deep. And all you need to do is have your defensive backs or man-to-man coverage play off coverage. So if they're playing off, they're given a 10-yard cushion. Quarterback needs to get rid of it. He's got to throw it underneath or get rid of it quickly. You come up and you make the tackle. Unfortunately, the Jets undrafted free agent corner Lamar Jackson didn't really get the memo, and he fell for a double move, a stutter and go, which you cannot do that. I mean, you can't do that. So I know a lot of blame's going to Greg Williams, and that's fine. But if you're Lamar Jackson in that situation, there is no double move, buddy. Just you play back, you let him catch it in front of you, and then you tackle him.
That's what I didn't understand. Okay, Greg Williams puts pressure on the quarterback. But Greg Williams, as much as we can say, well, that's who he is, I got to take care of my secondary that's going to be exposed, and I got a rookie on Henry Ruggs, who's one of the top five fastest players in the game, and he bites on a double move. Like, if I gather that defensive, my secondary, I say, guys, everything's in front of you. Everything's in front of you. We're going to blitz. Everything's in front of you. Make them catch the ball in the middle of the field. That's it. And then if you want to send six guys, okay. But that's what I don't understand. I would fire Greg Williams for not telling his secondary, don't let anybody get behind you.
Well, I don't know. How do we know that he didn't tell him that? But ultimately, I would say, Dan, it's his responsibility. You know, like whether Lamar Jackson, and not the quarterback Lamar Jackson, the Jets DB Lamar Jackson, what, you know, no matter whether he knew the situation or not, it's ultimately the coach's job to make sure that your young player does not make that mistake. I mean, but that's the thing. Coaches, I think, sometimes take situational awareness for granted. Like, okay, this guy knows playoff. You don't get beat on a double move, a stud or go. I mean, I still can't believe it happened. I'd like to think that all the Danettes, you, me, we would have been like 20 yards off. Okay, catch it underneath. We'll come and tackle you. But Lamar Jackson, he got the distance closed on him. He fell for it, and he got beat very, very badly.
Was yesterday a good day for the Jets?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yesterday was a great day for the Jets because it showed some promise without losing the ability at the number one overall pick. I got to tell you, I haven't had that much fun in a while, Dan. Watching the red zone, the end of the 1 o'clock games. And look, there was a bunch of great games. The Lions, Bears ending, the Texans fumble against the Colts. But just watching the Jags and the Jets and the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes drama. And what makes it so amazing to me is Adam Gase and Doug Marrone, they know they're gone. They know they're getting fired after the year. So they have no incentive to feather the nest for the next head coach. Like, what? How does it help them if the next head coach gets the number one pick and gets Trevor Lawrence and has success there? So these guys are out there trying to win a game to screw over the next head coach who's going to take over for them after the season. It's amazing.
Well, Sam Darnold probably tried to sabotage this as well, because if they win a couple of games, all of a sudden they go, all right, maybe we don't need a quarterback here. We're talking to Ross Tucker, the former NFL offensive lineman, his podcast, Ross Tucker Football Podcast. What would you do if you're Doug Peterson at the quarterbacking position?
I would go with Jalen Hurts, and I would go with Jalen Hurts for a couple reasons. Number one, he actually showed a spark. He made some good throws. They moved the ball on a couple drives in a row, including the touchdown drive. And not only that, Dan, it's been painful to watch Carson Wentz. Painful. And I say that from a couple different standpoints. Number one, he was so good in 2017. He was even so good the end of the year last year when he led them on that run to win the division with a bunch of practice squad guys. To watch what he's become this year, it's not quite that bad, Dan, but it's almost like when a baseball player has the yips. Like, he just won't pull the trigger. Mm-hmm. He is looking at the rush. He's looking down. He needs to be rebooted mentally. And so I start Hurts. If Hurts plays great, awesome. Play him the rest of the year. If Hurts is terrible, then maybe you consider the week after putting Wentz back in. But they got to do something to try to reset, unplug, whatever you want to say with Wentz, because he is – I've never seen anything like this, a quarterback deteriorate their performance this bad. And he's such a good young man. He just became a new dad. It's honestly like painful to – I watch every snap. I do Eagles pregame and preseason TV. It's painful to watch when you know how good of a kid he is and how much he wants it, to see how badly he's playing and how much – he says he hasn't lost his confidence.
He refuses
to pull the trigger. I mean, he takes sacks that you just can't take.
Explain to me the Chiefs. They might be the best team in football, but they certainly have a bad habit of keeping everybody that they're playing in the game.
Doesn't matter, Dan. You don't check Twitter enough. Chiefs are clearly the best team in the history of the galaxy. They're going to win every playoff game by 20. They're way better than the Steelers. It really is emblematic of our society. We all know Mahomes is great and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Look, and the Chiefs are great, and they might win it again. But there's this narrative out there that the Steelers, quote unquote, aren't really good because they haven't looked that impressive in some of their wins. Meanwhile, you know, the Chiefs just barely beat the Broncos. The week before that, they beat the Bucs by 3. The week before that, Raiders by 4 in a great game. The week before that, they beat the Panthers by 2. Like, there's this thought process out there that the Chiefs are some unbeatable team. It's just not based in reality. I think that Chiefs-Steelers game will be awesome. I hope it happens. But this idea that the Chiefs are like 20 points better, it's just not founded in any sort of reality.
Are the Browns good or very good?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm going to say good. I think the Chiefs and Steelers are very good. I think the Browns and Bills are good. I can't go very good. with the Browns or the Bills. I will say this, though. I love what the Browns did yesterday. My favorite thing is when teams shatter the lazy narrative about them. Like last week, Dan, I tweeted that Kevin Stefanski should be in the running for coach of the year because he has the Cleveland Browns at 8-3. And you know who replied to me? Some guy named McLovin, Andrew Perloff, and said, yeah, but who have they played? Who have they played? You know who they played, McLovin? They've now played 12 NFL teams. They've won 9 of the games, including beating the brains off the Titans. They beat the Colts. This whole schedule thing with the Browns, they're the Browns. It's that we're talking about the Cleveland Browns, and they're 9-3, and you've got back row bumbling whatevers like McLovin saying, but who have they played, though? Who have they even played? I'm still mad at him about that.
Yeah, but why do you let it bother you? It's McLovin. Like, you're better than that.
I know. You're right. I like getting fired up. I miss you guys. I haven't been up there in a while. And so when McLovin and everybody's like, yeah, who have they played? Oh, it helps when you play the NFC East. This whole, like, this isn't college football. Like, you play who's on your NFL schedule, and they beat 9 NFL teams.
All right. Let me let McLovin. This is Ivy League on Ivy League crime. Yeah, McLovin.
I mean, Ross, honestly, I follow you for the press box food recommendations. I just saw an actual football tweet, so I felt like the need to respond instead of the fact that they had a chicken marsala at the Colorado State press room. So I was so taken aback by this.
You know, McLovin, you mock what you don't understand, okay? Those press box food videos get terrific engagement. People love it. And maybe if you're ever actually in a press box, you would be able to enjoy how delicious it is. Wow. And by the way, I'm also mad. You get Meat Friday, McLovin. You can just be quiet with the Meat Friday. Traeger grills, so good. I saw what Alan put out for you guys Friday. I wanted to kill somebody. I wanted to eat that so bad.
Was Dartmouth your safe school?
Didn't really consider it. I was only looking at like real Ivy League schools like Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. Hmm. I mean, if you're going to go Ivy League, Dan, why would you go to like a second rate, second tier one? You know what I mean? Like,
I agree. And that's
why Harvard, Yale, or Princeton.
That's why I didn't go. It was just the secondary Ivy League schools. I didn't get the elite ones. I'll leave you with this. Washington at Pittsburgh, Buffalo and San Francisco. Any surprises? Do you see an upset? Can Washington beat the Steelers?
Yeah, I think they can. I don't think they will, but I actually think both these games are going to be awesome football games today because the Steelers are coming in this one. They're limping a little bit. No James Conner. They just played Wednesday. Washington's playing better. Washington hasn't played in 11 days. Pittsburgh played 5 days ago. I think Washington has a real chance to win this game. And then I think tonight, Bills Niners from Arizona will be very entertaining. We got a great Monday on tap.
Did you ever have a good experience when you played in Washington?
Yes, I did, because we were 0-5 my rookie year, and then we won our next 5, and Marty Schottenheimer, I think I had 9 head coaches, Dan, in 7 years. Do the math on that one. Marty Schottenheimer was awesome. I love that guy. I love that team. We won 5 in a row after we started out 0-5. So, yeah, that was actually a great experience, and Washington would have been so far ahead of things, but then Daniel Snyder fired him after 1 year because Marty wouldn't let Daniel Snyder make the decisions with the front office. So he got fired after 1 year, brought in Spurrier, easily the worst coach I ever had. So arguably the best coach I ever had to the worst, just because Daniel Snyder wanted to call the shots. It's really a shame.
Why was Spurrier so bad?
Didn't put the time in, didn't understand protections at the NFL level. We had two I mean, I remember playing, I started every preseason game for him in 02. We had 2 protections, Dan, and there were no hot reads, no sight adjusts. So you're just supposed to audible to the other protection or to a different play based on what the defense is showing. Well, in the NFL, if they show the guys are coming from the left, they're coming from the right. I mean, it was, I could do a whole segment on Spurrier. He was not a good coach, but we kind of liked him because if it rained, we wouldn't have practice because he didn't want to stand in the rain. So we used to root for rain just so we didn't have to practice that day.
Did he know your name? Because he famously did not know the names of his players, especially on defense.
Oh, no, he knew my name because one time in a team meeting, I got pushed back against the Steelers. I gave up like 4 yards to Casey Hampton. And in the team meeting, Spurrier said, "Hey, Tucker, these aren't like those guys from Yale or Brown. These guys mean business up here. You're getting pushed back." Meanwhile, Dan, Casey Hampton's like the strongest dude in the history of the world. I was actually pretty happy that I only gave up 4 yards of push on the play. But everybody, all the guys are dying laughing. And I was kind of over the Ivy League thing at that point. So I didn't take it very well. And he came up to me at the practice. He's like, "You mad at me?" I'm like, "No, I'm not mad at you. But like, it's my second year now. Can we get past the Ivy League thing? Like, I'm here now." Like, so anyway, he knew my
you
name.
Poor guy, sure. Being held back by going to Princeton. Man, I really feel bad for you.
It's something I've had to try to overcome my entire professional career.
It's always great to talk to you. Safe travels there, buddy. We appreciate it. And as always, thank you, Ross.
All right. See you, dudes.
Ross Tucker, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Listen, you might learn something.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Is Carson Wentz going to get benched? Because Jalen Hurts showed me enough yesterday against Green Bay, gave them a spark. Let me see what he can do. You drafted him in the second round. I know there's hurt feelings. There's already hurt feelings with Carson Wentz. He had hurt feelings when you drafted Jalen Hurts. It's a big boy business. That can't affect how you play. You know what affects how you play? You. Not you drafted Jalen Hurts and now my confidence is decimated here. Go out and play. I said last week I would sit down Carson Wentz. I would let him sit down for a couple of games because playing him is not helping his confidence. And as I said last hour, your only hope in Philadelphia is Frank Reich convinces ownership, Chris Ballard, the GM with the Colts, let's trade for Carson Wentz in the offseason. Phillip Rivers needs foot surgery. You're going to get everything you can out of him this year, and then perhaps you move on. Maybe you reunite Frank Reich with Carson Wentz. If not, now you got a real mess because you're going to have an unbelievable salary cap hit, $60 million if you cut him, and then the following year, if you get rid of him, $40 million. But you drafted Jalen Hurts. Let's see what he has to do. Let's see what he can do. And it's Philadelphia against the Eagles this weekend. I'd love to see Taysom Hill against Jalen Hurts. Poll question, McLovin, from the first hour.
The first hour, were the Jets losing on purpose, or do you think they were? 59% said no. Then I switched it up to Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes for the MVP. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, early leader.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I figure you're not as annoyed by Eagles topic right now for some reason, so I could get in the other topic that annoys you, the NFL MVP.
No, I just think the Eagles need to find out what they have with Jalen Hurts. Yeah. And Carson Wentz is just going to get these bad habits ingrained in him, and then you wonder if he can get it out of his DNA. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I have to go, hey, Carson, I'm going to sit you down. Even if you put him on the injured reserve list. Just say that he's got some injury there and you put him on the injury reserve list. Let him have a graceful exit here. But I need to find out if Jalen Hurts can play. Plain and simple, I thought he provided a spark, and I was kind of surprised. The offensive line looked a little bit better when Jalen Hurts was in there for some reason than Carson Wentz when he was in there. Yes, McLovin.
Another poll option, and we've done this a lot, which coaching vacancy would you be most interested in? Say you're Eric Bieniemy. I think there's a new entry in it. You got the Texans, the Lions, the Jets, maybe the Bears. How about the LA Chargers because they're, I think that's an attractive thing for Eric Bieniemy to have Justin Herbert.
That's an embarrassing. You know, there are a couple of embarrassing losses this weekend. LSU, a 30-point underdog against Alabama, and Alabama covered. And then you had the Chargers. Anthony Lynn is dead man walking there because you're trying to compete. This is the LA market, and you do have some players there. You do have some talent there, but you can't lose 45-0 when the quarterback for the team that had 45 didn't throw for 100 yards. And by the way, I'd hate to be a running back with the Patriots when the ball's inside the five, because there's no chance I'm getting that ball. None. I think Cam goes, here's the play. I get the ball. Block. Ready? Break. That's it. But Patriots picked up the win. And this time the Chargers didn't blow it in dramatic fashion. I mean, it was over. And they made sure that it was over. 45-0. The Giants have won 4-0. The Giants started out 1-7. This is the longest streak since a 6-game winning streak in 2016. And then you had Colt McCoy, who got the start. His first win as a starter since 2014. He was with Washington back then. And they were the better team. Played great defense. But, you know, there's always a couple of surprises this late in the season. I don't know if you have one tonight. Washington at Pittsburgh. The Bills at the Niners. Dallas against Baltimore coming up on Wednesday. But this is the time of year when you have something that happens where you go, where did that one come from? I don't know if we'll see a surprise. Now, has there been a surprise that's equal to the Giants going to Seattle in a game Seattle had to have because the Rams won again? You're 10.5-point favorites against the Giants with a backup quarterback. Remarkable. But the Giants, they play hard, they play good defense, and they got just enough plays there. Yeah, Paulie.
If I would have told you in late September, early October, that Russell Wilson will again not get one single MVP vote, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, he's out of the mix now. Now it's a two-man game, absolutely, with Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And I have no problem with either one of them if they win it. Like, this has been week to week. You know, it wasn't that long ago where we were trying to put Tom Brady in there. Russell Wilson was in there. Ben Roethlisberger was in there. All it takes, it feels like, is one game. You know, Kansas City hasn't looked great. They really haven't. They allow you to stay in the game. As much as we look at that offense and going, boy, they're potent, they don't put you away. And that would be a concern. Not a huge concern, but it's a concern when I get to the postseason. I got to put teams away because those teams are usually a whole lot better than the Denver Broncos. You got to, Carolina Panthers, you got to put teams away. We saw that in the postseason. They could be down double digits. They can come back from that. But they allow teams to hang around, and that could come back to haunt them in the postseason. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This guy loves Aaron Rodgers. Chris Sims, who joins us on loan from NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk Live co-host on Peacock. Two-man race here for MVP, Chris.
I think so. I mean, you know, Derrick Henry going into the weekend, I kind of put him on the top three, you know, list there. But of course, yesterday, a little underwhelming. And yeah, I'm a little biased toward Aaron Rodgers. We know that. That's my favorite quarterback ever. I do think he's amazing. And for what it's worth this year, I really do think right now he is the leader in the clubhouse as the MVP. When you talk about everything he's doing, the support system around him and everything like that, I think it's a pretty amazing year.
If I put Rodgers on the Chiefs and Mahomes, right, and Mahomes on the Packers, how much of a change?
That's a good question. I don't know if there'd be a whole lot changing as far as wins and losses. It might be a little bit of a different way in which each guy goes about it with their own personal flair and things like that. But I still think for the most part, you'd have Kansas City sitting there with one loss. And, you know, maybe Mahomes is better than Rodgers as a pure player right now at this point of his career. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the game. So, I don't know. Okay, maybe they don't lose that Tampa game where Rodgers throws two picks early or something like that. But I don't know if it would be a whole lot different.
Yeah, but I've got Travis Kelce, who Orlovsky, yes, said is the best non-quarterback, most valuable non-quarterback in the game. Rodgers doesn't have that. I mean, Devontae Adams is wonderful, but you put Tyreek Hill, you put that 4x100 relay team out there, and then you put Hilaire. They got a good offensive line, offensive-minded head coach, and Andy Reid. I don't know.
I know. You're preaching to the choir here. You know that. I mean, this is something where I do think people lose sight of that fact sometimes that, yeah, Mahomes, as awesome as he is, yeah, you could talk about Travis Kelce. And honestly, he's the second thing people worry about. When teams play Kansas City, the first guy they're worried about is Tyreek Hill. So imagine having Travis Kelce as the second option. And then when they get Sammy Watkins back healthy, you go, oh, man, now there's another matchup you have to worry about. So for the greatness of Mahomes, you're right. There's phenomenal talent there that sometimes gets lost in translation with that whole conversation.
I do have – it's not a big concern, but it's something I'm just filing away. Kansas City doesn't put teams away.
No, they do not. It's on their offense to put the teams away, right? We know their defense is not – it's not built to do that. They have one superstar player in Chris Jones. You know, they have Honey Badger, who makes a few plays here and there, and Frank Clark. And other than that, it's just a lot of good with some really creative coaching by Steve Spagnuolo. But it's the second week in a row, right, Dan, where last week they let the Bucs hang around, wide open 90-yard touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman. There's $9 billion on that Chiefs offense. It's on them to put these teams away. And you saw last night with the field goals and not scoring touchdowns, they let the Broncos hang around and never really delivered that final dagger until really, really late.
Did the Jets have a good day yesterday?
Yes, they did. I mean, until the last 6 seconds, but there was a lot to be happy about until then. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That's one of the dumbest calls I've seen in the history of football. It really is.
But the last six seconds were the best part of their day, Chris.
You're right. If you ask a Jets fan, it is. You're right. Because I was sitting here in the NBC viewing room, which, you know, you've sat in it before, and we got a few Jet fans, and they were heartbroken that the Jets were leading late in the football game. They couldn't believe it. They were distraught, and they went crazy happy when the touchdown happened. So, you know, I'm one, Dan, I don't know how you feel, but it seems like most Jets fans are over Sam Darnold and are ready to draft Trevor Lawrence, and they want to start that era. And I think it might be a little bit of a rush to judgment, but I understand the conversation and thought.
Well, I want to get on that rookie contract with my quarterback and then start to build there, get a new coach in there, new defensive coordinator, you know, new coaching staff, all of that, and then see what I have. I was told yesterday, don't be surprised if the Jets would hold on to Sam Darnold one more year if they do take Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh, wow. I don't know about that. I don't know how that would help them. I would think that would just lessen his value for a trade or anything like that. Plus, you don't want Trevor Lawrence coming in and having to deal with some of the faction of the locker room that are Sam Darnold supporters or anything. That wouldn't be a recipe for success. I would think they could get a second rounder for Sam Darnold, you know, at some point in the offseason. The tough thing about Sam Darnold is we don't know exactly what he is yet. You know, every time he starts to play, he gets hurt or he gets mono or then he gets hurt again. So we've never seen extended, consistent, good play from him. I know the Jets, a lot of people there in that organization really think highly of him. But I think, Dan, to your point, this is going to be who is going to start this trend? Who is it going to be? Who's going to be the first team that finally says, you know, we have a good team. And even though we win and our quarterback, he's not the franchise. We're good no matter what. And we're not going to pay him $38 million and ruin our team. Who is going to be the first team to do that? That's really what I can't wait for.
I was also wondering about this when I saw what the Jets did, and I went back to the previous drive. So the Jets give up the game winner, double move. There's no help over the top. They go all out blitzing. You know, Vegas was 4th and 3 in the red zone with 1:45 to go or something like that. They're down 4. Williams called a blitz again, brought 7 defenders, and Derek Carr panicked and, you know, had an incompletion, threw it off his back foot. They had to know they kept Darren Waller in on the final drive, the final play to block. Your best receiver is being kept in to block. So they knew what was happening. They knew Williams was going to send the blitz. I didn't understand an undrafted rookie on Ruggs and with no help and then biting on a double move like that.
No,
that I don't understand. Yeah. What role does the coaching staff play in telling these grown men, hey, whatever you do, don't let somebody get behind you?
Well, it doesn't matter because, you know, there's so many things to break down there. You know, first off, yeah, you talk about the pressure in the series before on the fourth down and he, you know, throws the incomplete pass. Hey, it's a different ball game, right? To blitz down there. You got the end zone behind you. You don't have to worry about deep passes, things like that. To do that where they did, there's so many things. First off, John Gruden probably has better understanding of Greg Williams' defense than any other defensive coordinator in football. My 6 years with John Gruden, man, when we played Greg Williams, he used to call plays every now and then, and I'd be like, man, is he expecting a blitz here? He's crazy if he thinks they're going to blitz. I'd get up underneath the center and be like, man, Johnny Gruden is right. They're going to blitz. Holy cow. I can't believe this. I was shocked by it. So he has great feel. There's a little personal rivalry there. And you're right. Obviously, he knew that. And the poor undrafted corner for the Jets, what is he supposed to do? Yeah, you want to tell him don't bite on any double moves. But if Henry Ruggs catches the slant, he's not going to be fast enough to catch him there and make the tackle either. So he's really was put in a no-win situation, and there's just no other way to say it other than that was just a horrible call, or, I don't know, Greg Williams was deliberately trying to stick it to Adam Gase and the Jets and wanted to blow the game. I don't know.
Are the Browns a good team or a very good team?
Ooh, I'm still going to go with good team. But the last 2 weeks I'm starting to think, oh, maybe they are a very good team. They have two elite things about their football team, in my opinion, Dan. The first thing is their run game. You know that. The offensive line is special. They have the best O-line coach in football, Bill Callahan. And then that two-headed monster at running back. And then the other great advantage I look at them always is they have a front four that can get to the quarterback without blitzing or doing anything like that. And that's going to help in playoff football. When you can run the ball and pressure the quarterback and Baker Mayfield playing with some confidence and not turning the ball over and doing that, they're on the verge, I think, of being very good. But I'm still going to go with good for right now.
And you bring up a couple of really good points when it comes to postseason football. Do you travel? Your running game travels. You got a good offensive line. You got a defensive front that can put some pressure on the quarterback. It's going to come down to Baker Mayfield not getting squirrely. I mean, it really is going to come down to that. I mean, that's Stefanski's done a wonderful job as a rookie head coach, but, you know, I'm with you. The Rams, good or very good?
Oh, I'm still going to say good, too. I think the one part of their team that, you know, I still question a little bit, and Jared Goff was really good yesterday, but when they play really good defenses and they can't run the ball, can their drop back pass game win them football games? I think that's still a question mark for me, but they're on that same thing there, just on the cusp of being very good. I mean, a little inconsistent, but that's the interesting about the NFC right now. The NFC just it seems like it's so up for grabs and has a chance, I think, to be a really exciting playoff run because the teams are so close and so equal.
I'm going to make you Doug Peterson for a week. Your starting quarterback against the Saints is?
Oh, I think I would probably go to Jalen Hurts finally. I would do it for two reasons. One, Carson Wentz is a beaten puppy. I mean, it's everything's his fault. Even when it's not his fault, we all blame him. So I think he's kind of like deer in the headlights right now. The team needs a little new energy, new lift. And I think at the very least, okay, if he does well, you go, hey, look, he did well. This is great. But if he fails, you can then maybe quiet some of the critics too, and then go, look, see, he wasn't quite ready yet. Let's just give him time. We'll still play with him and use him in certain situations. But I think if I'm Philly right now, I probably do make that move.
Yeah, I do too. And I wonder the value of Carson Wentz in the offseason.
I it's a valid question. I think there's no way they can get rid of him because of the salary cap situation. It's such a big dead cap money. And I think there's still, if Doug Peterson's there, there's still enough believers. I think that coaching staff's realistic enough to know, hey, the kid's got talent. We haven't done the best job with him. And then, of course, Howie Roseman and some of the bust on the offensive side of the ball with draft picks and things like that. It's not exactly talent around him either. So I think they're going to give him one more shot almost no matter what happens the rest of this year.
Yeah, we were wondering about the value of Carson Wentz. And I said value maybe for the Colts and Frank Reich and reunite those two after Philadelphia. I don't know what
a good thought.
But Sam Darnold's value on the open market, I don't know what kind of value that would be. I don't know what the Patriots are going to do. I don't know what San Francisco is going to do, what Atlanta's going to do.
Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I know.
I don't know that. I did want to bring this up before we go. Bill Belichick, what he did on the road against the Chargers, I mean, 45-0, and Cam throws for less than 100 yards. I don't know what Belichick is doing. You watch the All-22, so you see whatever. There's no greater game plan adjusting coach in the history of sports, in my opinion, than Belichick. From series to series, you know, quarter to quarter, game to game, he somehow does something with an offense that's, you know, is makeshift.
Yeah.
But was that impressive what they did against the Chargers?
Definitely. Very impressive. Now, the Chargers, you know, with their special teams issues, always find ways to make teams look better, right? But that's New England is playing almost perfect football in all three phases of the game for about 5-6 weeks straight now. And that's because of the head coach. That's where, Dan, you and I had the conversation. COVID-19, forget the damn talent on the team or anything. The fact that Belichick couldn't be there coaching them and on them with all the details and all that, that was the biggest issue they had during COVID-19. But the big thing about them, Cam manages the game the right way. The offensive line is one of the best in football as far as running is concerned, and they run the proper plays into the right look every time. And then, you know, their defense and everything there. That Chargers team, it's a top 10 defense, a top 10 offense. To get blown out like that's pretty embarrassing. And I would think Anthony Lynn's a little in trouble there.
But would you rather face the Bills or the Patriots in the postseason?
Oh, the Bills are playing better. You got me stumbling all over myself here. I'd probably want to see the Bills. I probably would. You're right. The Patriots coming to the town with that run game, running the clock, that secondary, and the things they can do there to shut down just about any passing unit in football, I think would be very scary. That's a close one. But I think because of the Patriots' mystique, I'd probably rather see the Bills than the Patriots.
Thank you, Chris. As always, we appreciate you getting up with us.
You the man. I've been up for a while. And tell all those good guys I said hello.
Good guys?
Yeah.
These guys say stuff behind your back, though, Chris.
All right. I take it back. Tell those jerks I said hello.
Okay. That's better. That's better. Thank you. That's Chris Sims on loan from Peacock Pro Football Talk, co-host and, of course, Football Night America.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Quarterback from the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Ian Book, joining us on the program. The Irish now second in the country at 10-0, defeating Syracuse over the weekend. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Did you have an NFL team you rooted for growing up?
I did, yeah. It's the 49ers. I grew up a fan and still am a fan, so watch every game on Sunday.
And, you know, you start to look at these teams as you're going to be draft eligible here coming up here in a couple of weeks. What have you been told as far as your pro prospects or what the scouts might think about your talents?
A lot of people right now are just saying focus on the season and, you know, let that take care of itself. But it's been a dream of mine to play in the NFL, and that's what I want to do. So, you know, I'm ready for that, and I'll be willing to go wherever, whenever. It's just a dream of mine, and I don't care where it'll be. So,
who are you compared to who's playing in the NFL?
A lot of people, I mean, this is big praise because, you know, Russell Wilson's probably my favorite. But a lot of people say, you know, Russell Wilson, maybe Baker Mayfield, a couple of the shorter guys, which is cool. I love watching them all on Sunday. And it's just fun to see how the league with quarterbacks is changing a little bit. It's definitely motivating.
Are you a runner or a scrambler?
That's a good question. I'd probably scrambler. When it breaks down, you know, I think I can make some plays with my feet and keep the play alive. And that's just kind of how I've been playing the game since, you know, I started in third grade.
This is what I would say. Just a little bit of advice. Whenever you talk to a scout or a coach, general manager, anybody, just say, I'm here to help you win. That's it. That's all you do. Because that's what you do in college. That's all right. Russell Wilson did when he was in college. I'm just here to help you win. Because they're going to go, well, you're 6 feet. Are you a legitimate 6 feet?
I'm legitimate 6 feet, yep.
Okay. Because they're going to go 6 feet. Okay. How's your arm strength? Does he run? Does he have happy feet? Does he run too soon? Like, all of these things, they're going to pick you apart.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to be really confident in yourself to just say, through all of it, I don't care what you break me down, I win.
Yes, sir.
That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to win. All right?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
I agree with you.
Let's try it here.
All right.
Okay, so if I say, man, I'm looking at the tape here. I don't know. Do you pull it down and run too much here? How's the arm strength there? I don't know. Ian, help me out trying to understand your talents here.
Yeah, I just play to win. I'm here to win. I'm here to move the team, you know, move the chains and score on offense. I'm here to win.
All right. There you go. Just say it over and over and over. Don't get defensive when they start to pick you apart, right? Because I've been with some of the best who've ever played it, and they all got picked apart as well. Who gets your Heisman vote? If you had one.
I don't know. I think Kyle Trask is really good. I've been watching him, watched his game last week, and I think he's doing really well, and he's fun to watch, and he's really elevated his game right now.
Okay, I don't understand why you don't get any credit here. And I say that, having you on, but I've said that before you came on. You put up really good numbers and you win, but you're not put in the conversation of great quarter. I'm talking college quarterbacks. We tend to lump quarterbacks in what they're going to be like when they get to the NFL. I'm just talking about what you do in college. And that's what I'm surprised at. I think you should be certainly in the conversation for a Heisman finalist. I don't know if you're going to get there, but you win, and you're the second, you know, ranked second in the country. So help me understand what you hear as to why you're not lumped in with any of these other quarterbacks right now.
I'm not 100% sure. There's probably a lot of reasons out there, but, you know, one of them could be just because we're at Notre Dame. You either love us or you hate us. It's one or the other. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, talked about, you know, a conference, you know, they can't win if they were to join a conference, or just a lot of things like that. And we were able to join a conference this year and, you know, go undefeated in it. So,
Hate Notre Dame growing up?
No, I didn't.
Oh, come on.
I grew up, you know, really watching the Pac-12 on the West Coast, and really fortunate to get out here. I'm really glad I did. It's been an unbelievable experience, but I didn't hate Notre Dame like a lot of people do.
If it wasn't Notre Dame, where were you going?
I was committed to Washington State. That's where I was going to go. I was going to join the air raid and play in the Pac-12, and I ended up making the switch.
Well, I think you made a pretty good switch there. When's the last time Coach Kelly yelled at you?
During the game. During the game, we had a fumble, and that's on the quarterback always. And I definitely heard from him a little bit on the sideline, but, you know, he's been really good on the sideline just this whole entire year. So he came back and gave me some support, and we were able to finish the deal.
You have a dresser behind you. What's in those drawers? Yeah. What's in those drawers behind you?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Can you get up and just open it up and just let me know if there's anything that's
just some file cabinets. Got some secret stuff in there. Some Notre Dame stuff.
Some stuff that you'll use against Clemson in the ACC title.
Exactly. Yeah. Got 2 weeks to prepare. It's all in there.
How much did it bother you with Trevor Lawrence not playing? You guys beat Clemson, and then you hear, well, but Trevor Lawrence didn't play.
Right. I kind of ignored it because I kept saying, well, Trevor Lawrence doesn't play defense. So it was the same for us, and my job is to win, right? That's what we said. My job's to win as the quarterback, and whoever they were going to, the 11 guys they were going to put out there on defense is what we were going to go against. And I think it'll be good that he's back, and you know, hopefully we can get those people to be quiet, because that's what I've heard a lot, just like you have.
How much of an advantage is it to have 2 weeks to prepare for Clemson?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, it's good just to finish the regular season, have 2 weeks now just to rest up, you know, mentally and physically. And just to play a team twice is always hard. So it's going to be fun to get back to the drawing boards. I'm really excited about it.
You already have your degree?
Yes, sir.
In what?
business marketing.
Are you going to get a master's?
I am not. I'm currently a non-degree seeking fifth year. So
that means you don't do anything. What does that mean? I was a non-degree seeking like sophomore.
So basically I had to take one grad class and then two classes of whatever I wanted. I ended up taking three Irish studies classes. Really enjoyed it because I was going to go to Ireland and then COVID hit. We were going to play in Dublin, but I figured might as well, you know, learn about some of the culture. So I took three Irish studies classes this year. It was fun.
Are you studying Guinness?
No.
Of course not. Have you seen the movie Witness?
I have not.
So you know nothing about this Harrison Ford movie where his name is John Book?
No, I do not. I need to watch it then.
Yes, you're going to love it, by the way.
Okay.
But watch film on Clemson. I don't want people thinking, oh, he's not watching Clemson. He's watching a movie called Witness because the character is John Book and it's Harrison Ford.
I got to watch it. I'll find time. I'll find time to watch it.
Okay. All right. What's your nickname? They don't call you like Bookie, do they?
No. So, I mean, there's a lot you can do with my last name. But I don't think I've ever had a nickname. Ian's short enough and it's just kind of been Ian. And that's the way it's gone.
Well,
I had a coach call me iBook once, and like an iPad. You know how that goes, but that's about it.
iBook?
Yeah.
Mm.
I like Ian. We'll just stay with that.
Right. Well, congrats on the season so far. The ACC title game against Clemson is December 19th. What do you do better than Trevor Lawrence?
When?
wait a minute. His winning percentage.
He's pretty good at that. He's pretty good at that. That's a trick question.
He's 33-1. You're 30-3.
He's got me then. He's got me.
That's the right answer there. No, do you do something where you go, look, you're a competitor.
Yeah. I think like what we talked about earlier, being able to scramble and keep my eyes up and keep the play alive. He can do that too, but I've been doing that for a long time. I think that's one thing that can help us win. Like you said, help us move the chains. So,
well, good luck. Hey, great to talk to you. Congrats on the season. And were you more emotional your first day on campus or your last game?
Probably the last game. Yeah. I had my family and senior day and just the fact that it was going to be my last time playing in that unbelievable stadium. It's a night I'll remember forever. And I was definitely a little bit emotional and had my family with me, and that's who I wanted to be with. And I didn't want to leave the field, so I was out there for a long time.
You cry?
No, my mom was crying, though. It was pretty sad.
Mm. Trevor Lawrence would have cried.
He might have. I don't know. It was sad. It was bittersweet. Bittersweet.
That's a lot of great memories in that place. Ian, thank you. We appreciate your time, and good luck against Clemson.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
That's Ian Book. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.